We are grateful for a lot of things in life. It hasn't been that long ago that we got a call about Dustin being hit by a car. And you always think of the seriousness of that, and immediately prayers went up to God for on his behalf. And I certainly want him to know that. And just grateful and thankful that God answered our prayers and that he's able to be with us today, and we're thankful that he's here. We also are grateful that Grace, this is the second time she's been able to be here since she's had broken her hip, and we're thankful for that and for Pam being with her. And it's good to also refreshing and good to see Mark and Vicki with us today. We haven't seen them for a while, and we know that they certainly are in this area occasionally, but not as much as we'd like for them to be, but we're grateful for them being here. As well as others, I was thinking as I was sitting back there about how it's kind of been in and out this year, and so it's good to see this many folks in this room. You know, we talk about a lot of subject matters, and it's interesting because I was thinking about keeping up with the Joneses, and so it turned out that a couple weeks ago I preached a lesson that Kayla had wanted, and then Brenda had asked about teaching the Bible books on the first Sunday. And so I did that last week. And so then Kyle mentioned a couple of weeks ago about fasting, and then he mentioned it again, and I thought, you know, I don't think I've ever taught about that subject here at Waynesville. So I want to talk about that this morning. And you think, wow, why would in the world would you talk about fasting? It might interest you to know some facts about fasting, about the Bible and fasting. And so as we study this, I'm going to ask you to do something. They talked about, we were talking about the business meeting yesterday, that a couple of my lessons at the beginning have not been as long, so I'm going to make up for that today. It's going to be about an hour and a half. Just kidding. But to avoid that, you know, and so that you can study this on your own, I will not be turning to some of these passages. I will give you the passage if you choose to do so. Please write them down, or if you would like, I certainly, as always, would give you a copy of my outline. It's basically what you'll see, so it's not anything different from that. My words are my own. God's words are His. Those are the important ones. Anything I might say to add to that better match what He's already said. So when we talk about fasting, certainly Christ taught on this subject. He said in Matthew 6:16-18, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces, and that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." So it was important enough that in that sermon, Jesus taught about this. So where would we go to first? Well, I think we need to go to the Old Testament to study this, and that's where we'll go to in this lesson. But fasting has been a subject that I've heard debated by many. You know, as time has gone on, I've heard some say that we should practice fasting as a part of our life as a Christian. I've heard others say that fasting is an individual matter and should be limited and used only when we have a spiritual need. And I've heard others say that fasting has no place in the life of a Christian. So that's pretty broad, isn't it? That covers a lot of ground there. That's like from zero all the way. Well, we're going to study, again, starting the Old Testament. We'll concentrate on what was used before the new law was established. And then the second lesson, we'll talk about the subject from the New Testament. Fasting is discussed a lot in the Bible. It'll surprise you if you go back and look at it. It's talked about quite a bit. It's a very personal matter. I don't know about the rest of you, but I have said before that eating food is a thing that I enjoy doing. And certainly, when you have to abstain from doing that, something you really enjoy doing, it takes away sometimes from the way people look at life. In Ecclesiastes 5:18, as well as many other places in Ecclesiastes, he clearly says that whatever God has given us, that we should enjoy. And he clearly says, in life under the sun, when you're talking about life under the sun, eating is one of those things. And he said it is so wonderful when you're able to partake of food, things that has been provided and that you've worked hard for, and it's a wonderful thing to do. So food's very important. I mean, we can't survive without it. We do eat to exist. If you quit eating, you're not going to exist. But unfortunately, some people exist to eat, and there's a big difference there, and so we have to be careful from that viewpoint as well. Some eat or don't eat to compensate for their problems. Point being, there may be a medical problem where that has to be the case. Or there may be an emotional problem that affects someone, and thus, these are not anything we're talking about today. So that's not fasting. That's not the type of fasting we're going to talk about from the Bible. I think this is rarely discussed. I was kind of surprised when Kyle brought this up the other day, because it isn't. People just don't talk about it. We kind of pass over it and move on. You'd be surprised to know that those terms, fast, fasting, fastings, and fasted, in the way the word is used with that, not the word whole fast or something like that, but the way that's used, it's used 28 times in the New Testament. And that's more than some words that we discuss frequently that we would say are very important. So we need to study it. There's some misconceptions about fasting, at least from my viewpoint. This is all from things that I look at. Some say, well, you know, during history, we can clearly see that some people abuse their bodies by fasting. And we can also see that with people in the world, we can see that they chose to fast for personal reasons, and then they destroyed their bodies as a result of that. That's more like starvation than it is fasting, as used in the Bible. Some people say fasting is and was a Jewish custom. Therefore, we would never, ever do that. That was under a law that we don't follow. Some people say, well, fasting is starvation, thus it's wrong. Well, that, none of these things. These are all misconceptions. We need to eat 3 meals a day, right? At least, and some snacks in between. That's minimal daily requirement. And so, health-wise, that's what people say. And so, we just look at that and go, oh, yeah, you know, I need to at least eat 3 meals. Or, fasting is commanded as a ritual. Now, these are all misconceptions. Fasting is commanded as a ritual by the church. That is, the church determines when you fast, and the church makes the decision on it, and some churches do. And it's easy to see that they do pick certain times in which you will have a fast. Fasting is required during certain times of the year. That is that people believe that there are certain times that you should fast. And usually it's either before or after when you're going to gorge yourself and do something. No, it is. I mean, you know that. I mean, I'm not saying anything. So these are some misconceptions about fasting that aren't in the Bible, I can tell you right now. Now let's look at fasting in the Old Testament. So I'm going to go quickly. Second time. Day of Atonement, only command that was ever given. If you look at Leviticus 16, 29 and 31, Leviticus 23, 26 and Numbers 29, 7, it'll talk about the Day of Atonement. It will not use the term fasting. So you might look at it and say, well, that's not what that says, because what it does, it says it afflicts one's soul. Now I'm going to tell you something about this. I love this term. And we'll see in a minute that it has to be talking about fasting. I'll show you the verses, but It afflicts my soul to think about going without food. Now, I'm not being... Cody smiled. And by the way, glad to have Cody back as well. We didn't get to see him Wednesday night, so we're thankful he's back. But it afflicts my soul to think, well, I might not eat food. So I need to think about that. You can see from this that he's saying on that Day of Atonement, you need to afflict your soul. It's a memory thing. You were paid for. So thus, I want you to remember that. Psalm 69:10, again, please write these down. Chasten, humble, or afflicted soul with fasting, it's included with it. But we would know this from Isaiah 58:3. In Isaiah 58:3 that we'll study a little bit later, when we look at this passage, they said, well, we afflicted our soul with fasting, and then they asked a question about it that we'll look at. Acts 27:9, the Greek word there, when Paul and them observed that day on the ship with the rest of the Jews, and he did, that word there means fasting on that Day of Atonement. Fasting in the Old Testament. Look at some times it was observed by individuals. Observed by Moses for 40 days and 40 nights. And most people know that, and some of you are going to know this as well, and some may not have realized this. He did it once in Deuteronomy 9:9 when he received the law on Mount Sinai. When he brought the law down and they were sinful in what they did in making that golden calf, he did it again. Now, I do want to go back to this passage of Scripture and read something from this, because we can see how fasting was used by him. Now, I will also point out something later on about this fasting, in that there was no food or water. Now, that's not humanly possible under normal circumstances, 40 days, 40 nights, without anything whatsoever. Okay? So when we look at this, we need to understand that. But he was so upset about this. He says in verse 18 of chapter 9, I fell down before the Lord as at the first time, 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water because of your sin. So you can tell how Moses was upset about their sin. And I thought of this as I was thinking about it, how upset are we about sin? Well, I can tell you how upset he was. And he repeats it again in verse 25. We know when David did this when his son was sick in 2 Samuel 12, 16 through 23. When God said, I'm going to take the life of your son for your sin, David fasted, prayed, hoped that that passed. In Psalm 35, 11 through 13, by the way, I'm not saying I'm using all of them, I'm using a lot of scriptures from the Old Testament, I'm not using all of them. But in this instance, David said, I have my enemies, they don't like me, they like to see me dead. On the other hand, there are times when they were sick, I don't know whether he's talking about maybe Absalom and some other enemies, don't know. But when they were sick, he was so concerned about it, he said that I fasted for them. That's an amazing thing for your enemy. That's the heart of David. David and the people did this for Saul and Jonathan in 2 Samuel 1:12 when they were killed by the Philistines. So they fasted for that time period. Ahab fasted for his sins. This is a surprise to all of us because Ahab was not a good man. And finally Elijah was sent to him and he said, if you don't make some changes in your life, God's going to kill you. Well, he fasted, and he prayed to God for his sins. So we know that at least at times, and later on in Ahab's life, he would do this again. We know that at times Ahab had a good heart, surprisingly, because we know that Jezebel never seemed to have a good heart at all. The Nehemiah for Jerusalem, in Nehemiah 1, 1 through 4, we find that Nehemiah hears about Jerusalem and how it's desolate and there's nothing left there. From the time Babylon had come in, there's nothing hardly there. And they're starting to build the walls back, and they're starting to work on the temple. And eventually, you know, they go back in Nehemiah and do that. And he fasts for that. A Gentile in the Old Testament, Darius, because of Daniel. In Daniel 6:18, when he found out that he'd been tricked into putting Daniel in the lion's den, here's Daniel's probably in his 80s, and here this older man who has been respectful to him and treated him well, he now has to put him in the lion's den, and it says he fasted for the rest of that day because of that, into the night. Didn't eat anything. Then fasting observed as a group several times in the Old Testament. This is a sad, sad story in Judges 20. This is the time when the Levite had gone among them, the Benjamites, and they had taken his wife and treated her brutally to the point that she ended up dying. He cuts her up in 12 pieces and sends the pieces out to the tribe. He's very upset about this, so they get into a battle, or going to get into a battle with the Benjamites. And when in this battle, they're losing really bad. And so they stop in the middle of it, and this is when they do this in verse 26, and they fast and pray to God, what are we going to do? I mean, we're not doing well, and we know we're not wrong in this. And God gives them the answer back, but God had wanted them to talk to Him first. Israel in the war against the Philistines in 1 Samuel 7, 3 through 6. They were losing. Samuel there says, well, let's do this. Let's have a fast and let's pray to God. They then won the battle. And if you remember that story, they had sent the Ark of the Covenant and the Philistines had it and they hadn't received it back. They don't until David becomes king. The brave men who rescued Saul and his three sons' bodies, that's all they went to get. When the Philistines had hung them on the wall, they're very upset about this, and they're very brave to go do this. And after they do recover it, you know what the first thing they do? They fast and pray to God. They're very thankful for having been able to do that. Jehoshaphat proclaimed a fast when he's threatened by the enemies in 2 Chronicles 20, 1 through 3. There were several enemies around them. Some of them watched descendants that were trying to kill them, and he proclaims a fast. Ezra. This is a beautiful passage. I want to turn to this one, and I want you, if you choose to turn to it. Ezra, to me, is just, you know, he's another one of those heroes of the Bible. He's certainly a man that I look up to, you know, a brother of ours that had tried to serve and did serve God faithfully. They're getting ready to make the trip back, and they're heading back to Jerusalem. This is so beautiful to me. I was thinking when I, you know, as I was studying this again, you know how you don't study something for a while and then you look at it and you go, wow, that is a lesson in itself. Then I proclaimed a fast at the river of Havah. that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from Him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. For I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road, because we had spoken to the king saying, the hand of our God is upon all those who are good, who seek Him, or for good, who seek Him, but His power and His wrath are against those who forsake Him. So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and He answered our prayer. Isn't that beautiful? He said, you know what? I mean, it was like, but we said God would do it. And wouldn't that be shameful now to go and ask a king to do what we've already asked God to do? Israel, in confessing their sins and in reading the law, they were so respectful in these two areas. They were so respectful. It said that they fasted, confessing their sins, and they fasted while the law was being read. And you might think, well, but remember this, very unique circumstance this time. They have just come back, they've rebuilt the walls, and they've rebuilt the temple to some degree. And on this beautiful occasion, they pull the law back out. They've actually found it. They're pulling it out, and Ezra's reading it to them. And you think of that, the, as it were, the awesomeness of that, in thinking of what God has done. And then the Jews, Esther. Esther 4, 1 through 4, when Haman had planned to not only kill Mordecai, but had also worked something with the king and had him seal it so that all the Jews would be killed, they proclaim a fast throughout the whole land, the Jews do. Then later on, when Esther says, what am I going to do? And Mordecai says, well, hey, you don't know. This could be the reason you came into this kingdom. And if you don't do it, God, he doesn't say God, but someone will. Inference that God would send someone to take care of this. And so Esther says, well, tell everyone to fast and put on sackcloth. Because she had been so disturbed in the first part of this where Mordecai had done that. And she wanted to send him food and clothes. She was just so upset about this. And this time she says, tell everyone to do this, and then I'll go in and see the king, and just things will work out. And they did. But the Gentiles also fasted. This is an interesting one. If you turn to Jonah, you'll find that in Jonah, there's a, we all know the situation we talked about in class today in which Jesus said that he existed. When the king heard this, he proclaimed a fast, and this is again one of the few times where the requirement was no food, no water. And the king said it. And so we find them doing that, and then God did relent from destroying them. And it says they did this from the least to the greatest. You talk about a penitent group of people. When they realized and understood what God would do, these Gentiles proclaimed a fast. They were not going to partake of food. They did it to remember tragedies. And this is a beautiful one too if you get a chance to read these. Zechariah 7:5 and Zechariah 8:19. You might wonder, why did they keep those particular 4 months? Well, it's clear why they kept them. They kept it on the ninth day of the fourth month, because in 2 Kings 25:3-4, that's when Jerusalem fell. This is what they've been doing in captivity, by the way. On the 10th day of the 5th month, the burning of the temple. They kept that and fasted. The murder of Gedaliah on the 2nd day of the 7th month. They kept that and remembered that when the Chaldeans and others had come in and killed them as well as some other Chaldeans. And then the actual siege of Jerusalem had started on the 10th day of the 10th month prior to the fall of Jerusalem. I put them in order of the months, and that's, they kept that one as well. And we'll talk about this one in just a moment. Now I'll just summarize real quickly the purpose of this. Sometimes it was grief. People, due to their grief, wanted to get closer to God, wanted God's help in something, and so they fasted as a result. They gave up something. Some of them, for forgiveness, did it, either for themselves or someone else. And I've got a list of people there, and actually a whole city and a nation. Sometimes they did this to ask God's protection for them. Sometimes they did this so that they might have deliverance from their enemies. And sometimes they did this as a memorial. That is, It was in observing something as a remembrance or memorial for something. And so they fasted on that day to remember that and what God had done for them. Now the question comes from all of these. Did God require this? So let's look at some types of fast before we get into those questions. In Daniel 10, 2 and 3, we find that that is just a partial fast. That Daniel did not eat some of the things that he wanted and would have liked to have eaten. He put those aside and did a partial fast because he wanted to get closer to God and he wanted to also talk about the sins of the people. In 2 Samuel 12, 17 is an instance where it says that David just abstained from food. He did not take any food. In Jonah 3, 5 through 9, and also as I talked about Moses earlier, this is a total abstinence. But I will tell you something interesting about Jonah that you may have remembered or may not. The king also required it of their animals. The animals were not allowed to have any food or water. So it was a total fast for the whole city and that whole area. Lent, partial day and night, Daniel 6:18, where Darius fasted for just a short period of time. Judges 20:26, we see them doing it for a full day, sun up, sundown. Esther 4:16, we see in that instance that they did it for 3 days. You seeing any pattern here? At Saul's burial, they did it for 7 days. They fasted in remembrance of the king. David's son, David did it for 7 days. Then when they told him that the son was dead, he got up from his fasting, put his clothes on, washed himself, and so forth. Now, some of these are included. There's some other things included with them besides just the fasting. Moses did it twice. Elijah did it once for 40 days and 40 nights without food or water. Both of these men, one of them did it twice, one of them did it one time, that's recorded, fasted without food and water. And so I would say, was there some divine intervention there? It is very difficult, but do I know that? Well, I would say in all of these there's divine intervention. We don't live without God's intervention in our life, regardless of what we do. So how does this work? Could a person survive? Don't know. Let me give you some admonitions before we get any further. Fasting was not for show or to be ritualistic, and I know that from Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, they came to him and they said, "Well, why haven't you seen us? We've been out here fasting, God. What's wrong? I mean, you're not doing anything for us anymore." Go back and read Isaiah 58. So his answer was, well, they fasted, but they still found pleasure. Now, what he's saying is this. You didn't put anything aside. You did one thing to try to appeal to me. But you went ahead and lived your life like there's nothing, like there's no relationship between us, he said. He said, and in addition to that, you haven't treated other people well. You exploited your laborers. You think that you're going to have a relationship with me over the fasting just because you chose not to eat and suddenly now I'm going to accept your lack of good works? He said they fasted for strife and debate. In other words, it just became an argument among them. It wasn't for any particular reason. That's just what they did. He said, though they should have bowed down like a bulrush. Prostrated themselves before him, is what he's saying. You should have humbled yourself. You should have actually afflicted your soul. You didn't do that. You just chose to do something to appeal to me and hope to get my favor. He said, in addition, and this is one of the things they did lots of times with fasting, sackcloth and ashes. He said they should have loosed the bonds of wickedness that they were bound to. In other words, just deciding to do something out of, well, God would love that. And that's something he would like. Let me just do that. No, this doesn't work, folks. This will never, ever work. He said that they undid their heavy burdens. They didn't let the oppressed go free. They didn't share their bread with the hungry. That's things they should have done. So they wouldn't do what he had told them to do, but they did something that was a good act if you combine them. But it's worthless by itself. He said they should have brought the poor to their houses. They should have taken care of them. They should have covered the naked. Doesn't this remind you of Jesus in the New Testament? Of what worth is it to do something and hope that God will just accept it on the basis of, well, I did this for you. He said, then I would have heard your prayers. Zechariah 7, 1 through 14. When I mentioned this earlier, here they are, they're saying, well, when we were in captivity, basically, don't you remember, God, we kept those four different occasions as a memorial. We fasted in four separate months. And so, should we fast as we have done for so many years? You see something already wrong with this? And he said, wait just a second. Did you fast for me? For me? He said, shouldn't you have obeyed my laws? You're acting as fasting takes care of not doing what I tell you to do. He said they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders, and stopped their ears. He said they made their heart, doesn't this remind you of Pharaoh? They made their hearts like flint. What's he talking about? He told them to do something, they refused to do it, but they thought, you know what? We'll just do these fasts. And we'll act like. Now, I'm not saying all of them did this. Some of them very sincere in what they did. And God would be real, well pleased with what they did. But he said they refused to hear the law and the words of the Lord of hosts. They should have, he said, executed true justice, shown mercy and compassion, not oppressed the widow and the fatherless, the alien or the poor, not planned evil against their brother. So I'm going to conclude this part of it with this. And I know you're just thinking, what in the world is he going to preach on the Sabbath? We're going to look at the New Testament. And I'm going to tell you right now that this is a very serious subject. But it never will be a subject where, and I'll emphasize this in the second one, where fasting will make up for not doing what God said. Other than the Day of Atonement, no other day or time was commanded by God. You didn't see, he didn't command David to fast for 7 days. He didn't command Moses, nothing says he commanded Moses to fast. Nothing is said about Elijah, other than Elijah was running at the time and didn't even take the time to eat or drink anything. He didn't command any of those times. He didn't command those four times that they chose to do it as a memorial. They did that after Jerusalem was destroyed. The proved examples in the Old Testament, though, show that whether it was Jew or Gentile, it must come from the heart to be accepted by God. If they were going to fast, it had to be for a real reason and come from the heart, just like the Ninevites. You know, God knew that came from their heart. That wasn't just something they were doing. These Gentiles realized they were in trouble. It is clear from the Old Testament that fasting showed many times a close relationship to God. In fact, it is very closely related to prayer in the Old Testament. If you noticed how many times in that, if you looked at them, if you had time to look them up, fasting and prayer, fasting and prayer, fasting and prayer. When accepted by God, it was always used to bring one closer to God or to ask for God's blessing for some needs in their life. Now, the ones who fasted did always receive what they wanted from the God, but He always gave them what was needful. When David asked for that through his fasting and his prayers to God, God would not do that. But He gave him what he needed. He gave him life. And he had said that he must die. And so he chose the Son instead of him. Today, before we do anything to get closer to God, we must always be obedient to His will. And I'm going to emphasize this to any of you. You can fast all you want to, but if you don't do what God said, if you don't hear His Word, if you don't believe His Word, if you don't confess Him as the Son of God, and you're not immersed in water for the remission of sins, and we have passages on all of that, if we don't do His commandments, you can fast all you want to. And I can show you things in the New Testament where people fasted. It did nothing for their salvation, although they were doing something that was good for them. Then we must live faithfully to Him, repenting, that should be confessing, and praying for our sins. Question, do you need to obey today? Well, we'll study this, what we're talking about, further. I think it's a very important subject. But let me ask you something. Wouldn't you want to please God first? Don't you want to be obedient to His will? So that if you chose to do something like this, to get yourself closer to God, He would be pleased with it. He's not going to be pleased with that just as me doing it and saying to Him, you know what, I'm not going to do it. And that's clearly what He said in the Old Testament. We're going to stand and sing a song. Would be very happy to help anyone anytime that we can help them in their obedience to God. Would you please stand?